Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Luke's English Podcast. This is Luke speaking, of course. This episode features interviews that I did with the runners-up in the Your English Podcast competition. You remember the details, don't you? I don't really need to go through it again, do I? I don't really need to, but I will in as brief a way as possible. So around about the 200th episode, I launched a competition. In fact, in the 200th episode, I launched a competition. The competition was that my listeners could send me up to 5 minutes of audio of them talking about whatever they wanted to talk about. Loads of people sent me stuff, and I published them all in a series of 8 episodes called Your English Podcast. And then all of you, my listeners, listened to those recordings and you voted for the ones that you thought were your favourites. And then out of those episodes, we got a winner from each group and then an overall winner, the one who got the most votes of all. So in this episode, I'm going to feature the conversations I then had with the runners-up. So you'll remember that the prize was that for the winner, they'd get the opportunity to speak to me directly in an episode of Luke's English Podcast. For the overall winner, that's Edgar Hernandez from Mexico, I had a 30-minute interview. I'll upload that very soon. So 30 minutes of conversation between me and Edgar. But for the runners-up, they got the opportunity to speak to me for about 10 minutes each. So there are 7 runners-up. And you're going to hear my conversations with all of them now. Now, there's just one thing that I should point out. Of course, I didn't fly to different parts of the world in order to speak to each person. I did it all via Skype. I've got some software that allows me to record interviews that I do on Skype. But for some reason, and it's very, very frustrating. It's like, in fact, extremely frustrating, almost frustrating to the point at which I nearly decided to not publish these recordings. It's not that bad, really, on balance, but still, it annoyed me enough to make me reconsider. But then I thought, no, I can't, because I can't do that. I promised to upload them. And also, there's no way I can re-record these interviews because it took me such a long time to organise it all in the first place. What's the problem I'm talking about? Well, there's a little bit of a delay on Skype. And it happens sometimes, and you know, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't happen. And in a few of these interviews, it happened. There's a bit of a delay, and it means that when I speak, I'm just a little bit too fast. I mean, it sounds like I'm cutting people off. It sounds like I'm being rude, and I'm speaking too quickly and speaking over the top of people, because the people I'm interviewing at the other end, their comments are slightly delayed. So it wasn't delayed when I heard it and when I spoke, but it's delayed in the recording. So it sounds like I'm rudely interrupting all of my guests. So if you get the impression I'm rudely interrupting my guests, please do remember that there's a little bit of a delay on Skype, okay? So I'm not as rude as it seems in some of these interviews. Anyway, it's not too bad. It's okay, really. But still, it's just, there's enough of a delay to make it sound a little bit strange and to make it sound like I'm impatiently cutting off the sentences of my guests, which is very annoying for me because obviously I'm a patient person. I think it's very important to be patient when you're listening to people. I don't want to come across as being impatient or rude in any way. So if it sounds like that, it's just because of the delay. It's nothing to do with my personality. Of course, my personality is, you know, flawless, isn't it? Absolutely flawless. It's not flawless, of course. That's just a joke. But anyway, I'm not the sort of guy who interrupts and cuts people off when they're talking. No, I tend to be quite a patient listener. I like to think so anyway. So you're going to hear from these lepers, these listeners in this particular episode of Luke's English Podcast in this order. First, we're going to have Kevsa from Turkey, then Max from Italy, then Giovanni from Italy, then Yannick from Switzerland, then Aritz from Spain, Phil from Italy, and finally Javier from Spain as well. Okay, right. So let's not waste any more time. Let's kick straight off with Kevsa. This is my conversation with Kevsa from Turkey, and it sounded a little bit like this. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Kevsa.
Hello, Luke.
How are you?
I'm fine. What about you?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks. It's a nice day here, very sunny.
Yeah, here it's rainy a bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
That's a surprise.
Yeah, winter is coming, you know.
Yeah.
It's really cold.
Yeah. For some reason, I imagine that in Turkey, it's always hot and sunny. Is that true?
No, exactly. Because as I mentioned in the podcast, we have four types of seasons. Mm. And in the summer, it's really hot. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But in the winter, it's really cold here, you know.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So is this kind of autumn then in Turkey at the moment?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Autumn.
Okay. All right. That's nice. I've never been to Turkey, so mm-hmm. I've really got no idea what it's like. I mean, I've met plenty of Turkish people, mm-hmm. and I've seen, you know, obviously photos and things like that, but I've never been there myself. Which part of Turkey are you in exactly?
And right now, I'm in Sakarya. Maybe you can find.
Is that in the north, the south, the east, the west?
I think it's a bit east.
Okay. I'm looking at a map of Turkey right now as we speak, mm-hmm. and I'm just trying to find it.
And Sakarya.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't find it, Kevsa. I don't know where it is.
Yeah, it's small, I think. Maybe that's why.
Okay. Is it near like a very big city?
No, it's not exactly. It's. I think it's close to the Istanbul.
All right. Okay. Okay. Oh, I see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It. So it's like sort of northeast of Turkey.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
And I think I live in Sakarya, in Hendek. Hendek is county of Sakarya.
Yeah.
And it's here is quite small. And actually, we don't have opportunities, you know, as social.
Mm.
And we can't find any place to go. In here.
Really?
Because originally I'm from Bursa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came to Sakarya for education, my university education.
I see.
Okay. And yeah, that's why I don't like here.
Really? You don't like living there?
Yeah, because Bursa is really big, the fourth biggest city in Turkey.
Yeah.
And I have much more good, how can I say, better life in Bursa when compared to the Sakarya. That's why I don't like.
I see. So what? There's...
Yeah, but at least I have my friends, you know? It's not that bad.
Yeah. So you said that there's just nothing to do. Is that the problem?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
As a student, you know?
Right. Well, you've got plenty of things to do as a student. I mean, you've got your studies to focus on, right?
Yeah.
You don't
the only
need...
thing I do in here.
You don't need any distractions. You can just focus on your studies.
Yeah. Definitely.
All right. Well, that's it sounds good on paper, but I'm sure in real life you'd be
you know, sometimes we need space. We need to have fun, you know.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
I
must say right now, just before we go any further, I must say congratulations.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Well done for winning your group.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I think, I feel happy. I'm feeling happy. And thank you for everyone who voted for me. Mm. And it's good. Yeah, being the winner.
Yeah, it must feel pretty good to have won your group. So, yes, congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, you said in your recording that you want to be a teacher. Is that what that's what you're studying to become, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm studying at the English teaching department. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a teacher, I hope.
Yeah? You mean you're going to become an English teacher?
Yeah, exactly.
Who are you going to teach?
I don't know right now. I want to teach to high school or university students, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't like primary schools.
Why not? What's wrong with teaching primary school kids?
Actually, I don't like kids, you know.
Really? What's wrong with kids? I think I know what you mean, but go on.
Yeah, they're so, what does the word, nasty or naughty, something like that. They're so noisy.
Yeah, naughty and noisy, yeah. And they can be quite badly behaved if you don't, give them some discipline.
You know, I can't give anything to them because I don't like teaching to the kids, you know.
Yeah.
So it would be bad for them, you know. I don't want to.
Yeah. But, you know, be careful because you know what's going to happen is you'll qualify as a teacher and then you'll need to get a job and you'll find a school and they'll say, yes, we'd love to give you a job, but are you able to teach kids? And you'll say, yes, I can teach kids. Because you don't want to say no. And then next thing you know, you're in a classroom with a bunch of primary school kids and you thought, this is exactly what I didn't want to happen.
Yeah. Well, did you teach to the kids or?
Yes, I've taught kids a number of times. And in fact, right now, in my new job, I'm teaching kids.
To
be honest with you, it's a bit up and down. I mean, I'm not so experienced with teaching children, you know, I teach adults, that's what I do. But I can teach kids. But I don't have so much experience of it. And so on one hand, it's for me, it's actually quite intimidating. It seems a bit stupid that, you know, they're all so young and, you know, what can they do? But I find it to be quite a frightening prospect because I'm scared that I'm just going to lose control of them.
Yeah, we need to be careful, you know, it's really hard.
What you have to do is you learn to bring up the energy level and then bring the energy level down again. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is just about controlling their energy level. So for example, every now and they have lots of energy and sometimes it goes, they have too much energy and they have to kind of do something. Right.
Yeah.
So often that means that regularly in the class, you have to introduce some kind of physical exercise, physical activity, even if that means just asking them one by one to come up to the front of the classroom and write something on the board and then go back down.
Yeah.
And that,
I should do this.
Yeah. That's a good trick. Maintain discipline, but sometimes you invite them, each one of them individually, to come up and actually do some movement. They get out of their chair, they come out, they come to the whiteboard, you ask them a question or something and they have to write the answer on the board and then they go back and sit down. And that, for some reason, is like satisfies some of their need for energy consumption, you know. So that, and then after you've done one of those exercises, you go to a very quiet exercise where you do reading and you do some writing on paper and everything's very cool. Yeah, so it's like energy goes up and then the energy goes down again, then the energy goes back up again. You know, you can't just have the energy up all the time or the energy down all the time. You have to mix it up. That's my advice.
Thank you for your tips, you know.
You're welcome. Great, so you're going to be a teacher. Well done, good choice.
Thank you. I hope it will be.
Yeah. It's fun. And teaching kids, I mean, you're not going to do it. You're going to teach university students, right?
I hope so. I don't know exactly. I'm not sure. It depends on the conditions, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what will happen in the future.
Okay. Are you going to teach English? Is that the idea?
Yeah. The fact is that I'm going to teach English.
Great. Okay, so
after I've learned,
after you've learned, right? Yeah. Well, it's a kind of constant thing, I suppose. But your English, Kevsa, is good, and you have like quite an English sounding accent.
My only good thing about my English is accent, because my grammar is pretty bad. I don't I don't know exactly. I need some grammar lessons. I need more lessons in grammar.
Yeah. Well, it can be a little bit boring to study grammar.
Yeah. That's why I don't like grammar. That I can't do, you know. Because in Turkey, we have exams, university and entrance exams, I think.
Yeah.
And we have to study grammar. And I didn't take any courses in English. I studied on my own. And that's why I can do some mistakes in grammar.
Right, I see. Okay, well, it's interesting. But you might make some mistakes in grammar, but you're able to communicate.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Because I'm trying to do it as much as I can. I'm trying to speak to the natives, speak to the other learners, you know, via Skype. And
right.
I'm trying to do it.
Okay, what about your accent, Kev, sir? I mean, how come you have... I mean, it's not completely English. There's a little bit of Turkish in there, but it does sound quite English. You said in your recording that you would like to have an estuary English accent, which is a sort of southeastern, not posh, but not Cockney, somewhere in the middle. I think that you've got a bit of that accent, actually. And I was just wondering, how did you manage to acquire a sort of English-sounding accent? What have you been doing?
Actually, I've decided to have an accent 1 year ago, and I tried to listening many podcasts like yours, and I've watched so many TV series, and I'm trying to imitate them, and I think I've got that ability, you know, I have that ability to imitating. The other people and it's good because I think your accent sounds good. I don't know why. I don't want to have a Turkish accent, you know. I want to make it different. That's why I chose English, British accent.
Okay, right. Obviously you made the right choice, Kev, sir.
Yeah, I watched some videos, some tricks. I've learned some tricks about tips.
Really?
I have to sound like an English.
Right. Yeah. There's lots of videos on YouTube with people sort of giving you advice on how to sound English or how to sound like you're from London or something.
Okay. And for Turkish people, it's really easy, you know, because of our mother tongue. We have this ability in English, exactly, because there's no... there's just two letters that don't exist in Turkish.
Right.
And these are tü in think.
Yeah.
And that we don't have them. That's why we can't do it sometimes.
Yeah.
But generally we have your sounds, you know, all of the English sounds we have in Turkish. That's why we can't do it.
Okay, that's helpful. It's convenient for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. When compared to the people from India, it can be much more difficult, you know.
Yes.
An accent.
Yes. Okay. Well, good. Lucky you. I suppose you share quite a lot of the sounds of English, so that helps, I suppose.
Yeah, I think. I hope so.
Kev, sir, I'm afraid our time is up.
Really? Exactly.
It goes very quickly. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Okay, thank you so much for your job. I appreciate what you do for us. It's really good.
Okay.
I want to thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
All right. Great. And congratulations again.
Thank you so much.
All right. Keep listening, all right?
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Definitely.
Lovely to speak to you. Bye for now.
Bye.
Okay, goodbye then.
Goodbye.
So that was Kev Sir. Doesn't she sound lovely? Doesn't she sound like a really nice girl? I'm sure she is. In the brief time that I spoke to her, she certainly made a good impression on me. So, hello again, Kev Sarah. I know that you're listening to this right now. It was very nice to speak to you. Now, let's move straight on with the next one. And you're now going to hear from Max from Italy. And this was our conversation. Hello.
Hello, Luke.
Hi, Max. How are you?
How are you? I'm good. Good. What about you, Luke?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Having a nice day. It's my day off today.
Good. So very
I'm
good.
I'm just finding the time to call the winners of this competition that I did.
Yeah, always busy to record your podcast, actually. Yeah. Always busy making it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. But I should say, Max, right at the beginning, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Luke. And I wanted to thank all the listeners, actually, who voted for me.
Yeah.
I'm very thrilled, you know, I'm very excited and a little bit nervous, actually, to be here with you.
Really?
Because you are the actual English speaker, you know.
Yeah.
Luke, speaking with you is like, I don't know, performing a jam session with Stevie Wonder.
Really?
Yeah, or playing football with Messi, you know, those kind of having sex with Angelina Jolie.
I'm very flattered by the comparison, particularly the Angelina Jolie comparison. I'm not sure it's as exciting as that.
But... No, I don't really know. I will tell you at the end of our interview.
Okay. What do you know what it's like to have sex with Angelina Jolie?
I wish I would, actually, but unfortunately, not. I asked her, but she refused. Actually,
right.
She told me, "No, I'm busy. I have my husband, and you know that's it."
Yeah. Well, what a drag for her. She's got to deal with Brad Pitt. Oh.
Yeah. She's like, "Oh my goodness, you know, this man all the time."
Oh, I have to live with him and everything. Must
be
terrible.
Yeah.
So, Max, at the end of your recording, which I have to say was very funny, and and
thank
was
you.
Very thank well recorded. I'll talk to you about that in a minute. So at the end of your recording, you gave us a sort of multiple choice question about what you do. We had to try and guess what you do.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
This is the nitty gritty of this interview.
Yeah, let's get down to the real deal, real business here.
Yeah,
and let's find out what you actually do. So either you're a serial killer, or you're a beggar, or you're a music producer. Now, so you're not a serial killer, are you?
I expect, Luke, the police are listening to this interview. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually,
everyone's listening to this.
Yeah, but you know, especially the police, and I guess one of your listeners must be a chief police officer, actually, because he left a post. I think he's. His name is Gazdi or something like that. Sorry, I don't speak. I think it's Spanish, you know, the language. Uh-huh. Gazdi, something like that.
Right.
And he wrote, he left a post. "Hi, Luke, please register my vote for Max from Italy. I'm curious if he is a serial killer or not. And I expect him to be, you know, the chief police officer."
Right.
"Maybe they are ready to launch a massive police action. You know,
that's possible.
Dogs, helicopters, snipers, you know."
Yeah. Just have a little look out the window and see if you can see anything. Any helicopters?
Yeah. In fact, I'm here. I'm a little bit scared, by the way.
Don't go near the window. Don't go near the window.
Yeah. Just guys, keep calm. You know, just, you know, play with your dogs. Don't come here, because I think I'm going to be a huge anticlimax, actually, Luke, because I have to reveal. Actually, I'm not a serial killer, you know. Although, you know, come to think of it, I could be a serial killer, you know, because I have cornflakes, shredded wheat and oats, you know, and oats. So I kill cereals, you know.
Every morning,
yeah, for breakfast, yeah. That's it.
Right, so you're that kind of serial killer, okay. So technically you are a serial killer, but a good kind of serial killer.
Yeah. I don't kill human beings. I can kill ants, mosquito, flies, you know.
Good. I hope that you do kill mosquitoes, because those things are my nemesis. I hate mosquitoes.
Yeah, I know. And you had me crack up, actually, with your last podcast, actually, when you pictured that scene of yours, you know, hunting, you know, is something that we do quite often here in Italy, you know, just using are flip-flops, actually.
Right.
Or that's, as weapons.
Very good. Very effective mosquito hunting device, the flip-flop.
Yeah. That's the best one. They actually devise it on purpose. I think they did it just for killing, you know, more than to use it for walking or something.
Right.
It's very a very good. Good one. Yeah.
Just an additional point here. I thought that mosquito had gone. It didn't. It came back.
Oh, my goodness.
Came back. And you know where it bit me?
No, where?
It bit me on the head. It bit me right on the forehead. I've got a mosquito bite right on my flipping forehead.
So you have a sort of horn right now.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, oh my goodness.
And and people, I don't know what people think, but it's like this sort of red, itchy lump on the side of my head. I don't want to go outside, Max.
Yeah. You can wear a cap or something, just, you know, to hide it a little bit, just, you know. Yeah. But if it stands out, even though you put your cap on, it means that it's a very, very serious, you know, it's very serious stuff.
Yeah. I'm going to get that mosquito.
yeah, you have to. But, you know, don't you use insecticides, like sprays?
Oh, I can't stand that stuff. I mean,
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like DEET, that sort of chemical that mosquitoes don't like. Yeah. Okay, to be honest, I should probably be using, you know, mosquito spray to get rid of them. But I just always, I just assume that the mosquito's gone. It's not normal. There aren't normally mosquitoes at this time of year. There's just one rogue mosquito. One mosquito has gone AWOL. And has found his way into my apartment. He's like the Rambo of mosquitoes.
Yeah. It's very strong and well armed, and
Anyway.
Anyway, okay.
So you're actually a music producer.
Yeah. The correct answer was number 3. You know, who would have thought?
Who would have thought, exactly. Yeah. So a music producer, right, so that explains why your recording was, like, so nicely produced.
Yes, in fact, I did it in my studio.
Uh-huh. Could you tell me a little bit about your studio? Because, I mean, personally, I'm quite interested in that. Could you tell me a little bit about what equipment you have?
Okay, good. Okay, right now we are building a new studio. You know, a new studio has been built right now.
Yeah.
And I expect it to be finished by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I won't make a list of everything I've got in the studio, because it could be very boring business, you know. But, yeah, I use professional stuff like Neve amplifiers and pre-amplifiers. And, you know, for example, the recording I made was produced with the microphone was a Neumann U87, I think.
Right, that's like one of those really cool sort of radio microphones.
Yes.
What do they call it? A cardioid?
Yeah. It was a cardioid. Is actually one of the position actually you can choose. You know, then you can switch it to omnidirectional, something like that, or figure eight. Uh-huh. Which is, you know, you can actually set it up. You can choose what, you know, your you know, the way you want, your setting, actually.
Okay.
Then, you know, the converter is a Prism Sound, which is a British brand, which is, I think, the best in the world.
Of course it is, Max.
Yeah, because it's British.
Exactly.
Isn't it? All right. Okay, good.
You know what? I've just got one eye on the clock. We don't have that much time to go into all the equipment, but I just wanted to say the recording sounded great, and I'm sure that your equipment is brilliant. And
thank you very much.
As a bit of a sound recording geek, I'm particularly interested in that. I'm not sure about my listeners. So good, you're a music producer. You're not a serial killer. And do you play music yourself?
Yeah, I play music. In fact, I started as a composer and a sound engineer, of course. And you know, now I own a recording studio and a music label together with my wife. And, you know, yeah, I performed and composed a lot of soundtracks for movies and advertisements, you know, and, you know, also pop music, you know. I won the second prize here in 2007 at the most important Italian music festival, which is called Sanremo, which is, you know, broadcast from Rai, which is our BBC, you know. And it's a very, very, very important, it's seen not only by Italians but also by Latin Americans and you know, many people around the world. And you know, I think I've been doing that for more than 20 years, Luke, so I've produced a lot of stuff and composed a lot of music, and so
That's so cool. That's
brilliant. It's so cool because I've been able to turn a passion into a job, and I think you know what it means. You know, to be happy every day. I consider myself to be a very lucky guy because I'm always, you know, happy to go to work and to do what I, you know, it's a passion after all. It's a game, you know. We are always dealing with, you know, enjoyments and music and stuff. Even though it's not always that easy, of course, because you have to deal with people and they ask you to be, you know, professional, precise, and to do what they expect you to do. So could be annoying, but, you know, overall it's a very it's very good, you know.
Fantastic.
Very lucky.
Well, I'm very, very glad for you. what was the song that you nearly won the award for? You came second. What was the song, you know, and the artist?
The name was called, you know, the name was Bivio. Bivio is a sort of intersection. You know, when the roots actually has two, you can choose whether you want to go to the right or to the left. Okay. That's Bivio in Italian.
I see.
Right?
Yes.
You know, it's about life and, you know, and actually the performer, the singer, was a Stefano Centomo, who was a very young and talented guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's it.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Bivio by Stefano, what's his
Centomo.
Name? Centomo.
Centomo. Okay.
Fantastic. I'd love to keep talking to you, Max. I mean, I did say before that we'd only spend 10 minutes.
So 10 minutes. Right.
You're an interesting guy. You've got things to say, but I feel like I'm obliged to stick to the rules that I've given to myself.
Yeah, of course,
Do you have anything else to say, Max, to the people of the world?
I have to say a hello again, and, you know, thank you for voting for me, to all the listeners, and thank you, Luke, for what you've done so far and what you do, you know, because you're amazing, actually. Yeah, you are. Yeah, of course.
I appreciate
so
that.
So that's it.
One more thing, Max, actually. You mentioned to me before we started this recording, last time I spoke to you, that let's see, you had a couple of tips for finding ways of practicing your speaking.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's worth just adding this at the end, even though we've gone beyond 10 minutes. What do you do to help improve your speaking?
Okay, first of all, I surrounded myself with English every day. And, you know, I try to actually, my TV is set in English, for example. I always and only read in English, you know, I always read English book. But on top of that, I go to, every day, I actually visit some websites. One of them is called Speaking24, which is a very useful tool to meet people actually from around the world who want to speak English at that moment. So you share your Skype contact And actually, you start talking with people from all around the world, which is not only good for English, but also for, you know, to get a better knowledge of cultures, different cultures and different, you know, people. And then that's it. And then there are websites, language exchange, you know, stuff. Yeah. You know, one of them is Shared Talk.
Okay.
In which you can go and try to find people who want to speak your language. You know, so you can speak their language, and in return they will speak your language, and you know, you can actually have a sort of, you know, just, you know, you both practice and that's very good, because you get the chance to speak with natives, which is not very common and very, you know, easy to get.
So good. Like English or American people or Australians. Absolutely. Or whatever, who want to speak Italian, they can do half Italian and you do then the other half is in English. Fantastic. Okay.
And they help you a lot, and you can help them. You know, it's not easy, because they always ask grammar questions. Italian grammar is very, very complicated.
Right.
So it's not easy for us to answer to Italian grammar questions. But, you know, anyway, you rely on your instinct, and you know, anyway, you can actually at least telling them what sounds good and what sounds wrong, and you know, that's enough.
Okay. I should also point out that there is a Skype group on my website, teacherluke.co.uk, if you go to the discussion forums. And the name of the forum for this is Luke Skype English Conversation. Oh. And a number of people are sharing their Skype contact details there, and then they're chatting with each other online.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's very, very good. I didn't know it, Luke, but you know, I take part in it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Great.
You know? Yeah, it's a very, very good opportunity. Another very good opportunity giving us.
Might be nice to talk to some of the other listeners, because we've got a nice people listening to Luke's English podcast.
I read a lot of threads, actually, and they are amazing, actually. You are creating a sort of community, which is fantastic, which is something, you know. Great, you know.
I consider them to be like, I'm sort of starting a cult here, really, and I'm joking, of course, but anyway. they're like a gang of ninjas. I've said this before. One day I'm actually going to start like a ninja training camp, and I'll get everyone there. You know, and we
could actually set up a new town, a new place, a new state, you know.
Yeah.
And in which you are the chief, of course. You are the governor.
I'll be the governor, in The Walking Dead.
And we will always say, hello, governor.
You have to do it like a Cockney. All right, governor.
Yeah. It's a Cockney.
Sort of Cockney society.
Cockney city. Yeah. Cockney society made by foreigners.
What a strange town that will be. No one will ever visit us.
Yeah, but we will be in peace and very, very, you know, just people interested in English and, you know, people interested in culture in English and, you know, a very good, very, very good society.
I think so.
Yeah.
Right, Max, I'm going to have to end the call because we've gone beyond the 10-minute limit, but, you know, rules are meant to be broken, I suppose. it's been really great talking to you. Congratulations again.
Thank you very much, Luke, and take care, and, you know, all the best.
Yeah, you too. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. All right.
Cheers.
Thank you very much, Luke.
Right.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was Max there, and just because I've got one eye on the clock here, I think it's time to move forwards again, and we're now going to hear from the next runner-up in this competition, and that's Giovanni, also from Italy. Here he is. Actually, before I play this to you, I should just say that this is one of the recordings with that delay that I was talking about. So you'll probably notice, as I said, it's not too serious, but enough for me to just draw your attention to it, just to say, I know this is happening. So there's a slight delay, which makes it sound like I'm rudely interrupting Giovanni, which, of course, I would never do, would I? Of course I wouldn't. Anyway, I'll let you now listen to the recording, and here it is. Hello, Giovanni.
Hi, Luke. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you, too. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. So, okay. First of all, congratulations for winning your group in this competition.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for this great opportunity you give me to speak to you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Because for me, it means a lot, of course.
Well done. You won your group. So this is the prize that you've won, the opportunity to appear on the podcast. How does it actually feel, first of all, to have won your group? How does it feel?
Okay. To be honest, I was really, I'd say, surprised.
Yeah.
But if I may, let me say thank you to all the people who spent their time to listen to my entry, to listen to my 5-minute podcast, particularly to people who decided to vote for me. I was surprised that...
Oh, you've gone.
I was going to collect during the competition.
Okay, sorry, your voice cut out there for just a second, but you were saying you were surprised that people voted for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I was surprised and touched as well. But I think all the competitors were really, really great. I mean, not only the winners, obviously, but also didn't get any vote. They were great because they had the courage to record their voice. And it's not easy, you know. It's not a piece of cake when we you know, when our voice is going to be...
Oh, he's gone again.
We were afraid to make mistakes.
Sorry, you cut out again for a second, but you said when our voice is going to be recorded.
Yes, I don't know why, but we get shy, we are afraid to make mistakes, something like that. That's why I think that all the competitors were really great.
Yeah, I agree. I think it just shows some genuine sort of courage and initiative to actually, have the motivation to do it. I'm really impressed by people. It's brilliant.
Definitely.
So you're on Luke's English Podcast, Giovanni. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks a lot.
How long have you been listening to Luke's English podcast, by the way? How long have you been a listener?
Okay, I found out your website about 1 year ago, and I was addicted. I am addicted because I realized that your website is different in comparison with the other website, because you sound natural, so it was very useful for me, and I came across by chance, and... I am really fan of you.
Great. Well, I'm glad to have you on board. Now, you live in Sicily, don't you?
Yes, I live in Sicily. I live in Palermo, where I was born.
Right.
Palermo is the capital city of Sicily.
Yes, that's right. So if my listeners aren't aware, Sicily is like the sort of... How would you describe Sicily for people who maybe don't know where it is?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah.
Okay.
My question was, how would you describe Sicily to people who perhaps don't know where it is?
Okay, yes. Sicily is the largest island of Italy. Mm-hmm. It is located in the center of the Mediterranean Sea. Mm-hmm. And in Sicily, thanks to our natural beauties and to our history, there is a lot of tourism. We have plenty of sunshine, mm-hmm. wonderful beaches. There is also the highest volcano of Europe, Mount Etna.
Wow.
And it's still active. Every now and then we can see some spectacular eruption. Yeah. The city of Palermo is...
Oh, he's gone. It's gone again.
It means here.
Sorry, Giovanni. I lost you again for a moment. You were just saying the city of Palermo.
Yeah, it's very ancient because it was founded 8 centuries before Christ. It means here you can find a lot of history and culture. Yeah. In the past, in Sicily, we had a lot of different domination, different colonizations like Greek, Romans, Arabs, Normans, Germans, Spanish. And finally, we became part of Italy after the unification of Italy. Uh-huh. And I'd say because of this crossroads of different people, or I'd say thanks to that, our culture grew up as a sort of mix of different cultures. I mean, in our culture...
Oh, he's gone again. This happens sometimes. He'll be back in a second. Giovanni, where have you gone?
And people are...
Sorry, Giovanni, we lost you again for a moment.
Yes,
this is very annoying, isn't it? Our technical difficulties that we're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
But you were just saying that because of the mix of cultures...
Yes, Yeah, I'm saying that because of this mix, probably we are particularly tolerant, friendly, and sociable.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that certainly seems to be the case. So, like, so you said it's very hot in Sicily at the moment. It's like,
hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. hello, can you hear me, Giovanni? Hello.
Hi. Hello. I'm here.
Okay, I'm back again.
Okay.
So, all right. So, wow, I didn't realize that it was such an ancient, such an old civilization there in Palermo that it dates back to like 800 BC. That's incredible.
Yeah, like the same period of Rome, of the city of Rome. So it's very, very ancient. Right. But nowadays, you know, because of our position, because we are, as I told you at the beginning of our conversation, Sicily is just in the center of Mediterranean Sea, and it's a very we are far from Africa, only 2 hours.
Oh, he's gone again.
You know, a lot of migrants arrive here in Sicily because they consider Sicily a kind of door of Europe.
Right.
And they come here because they look for a better destiny. Sometimes they escape from the war, from countries where they are deprived of human rights or something like that. And I'm proud to say we never reject or push back them. We always accept them in a friendly way, and we try to do our best to be welcoming. You know, we feel united in the difference.
Yes.
We never exploit the pretext of the European financial crisis, for example, in order to be rude with them and say, please go away. Yeah. We never say
that. Well, that's very positive. Yeah, that's very encouraging. I'm glad someone is still welcoming people in, because you know, with the context of Europe, some nations seem to be pushing away their immigrants and so on. But apparently, in Sicily, are still kind of welcoming to people, because I suppose it's part of your history. Yeah,
yeah.
So, is it a good place to live then, Giovanni?
For sure, of course, there are some problems. I can't deny that there are some problems. But for me, I think that's okay. It's ideal because the nature is wonderful. A lot of beaches. The weather is fine today. For example, we are 35 degrees, and there is a blue sky.
Yeah.
And of course, in Europe, in this period, there are financial crises. So in terms, for example, of unemployment, unfortunately, this is a big problem in Italy, particularly in Sicily. Mm. But anyway, apart from that, I think that's a wonderful place, especially for tourism. Yeah. So I think.
So if any of my listeners are thinking about their next holiday destination, then Sicily could be one of those places.
Okay, you're welcome.
All right. Let's see. Now, you've done lots of traveling, haven't you? You love traveling.
What's the best
place that you've visited, Giovanni?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. Okay. You were asking me about my travels?
Yeah.
I love traveling because I think traveling is an excellent way not only to visit places, but even to open our mind. I think traveling helps me to see things from another point of view. You get in touch with new people, new places, and you change a little bit yourself.
Right.
In Europe, I've been, I'd say, almost everywhere in a lot of countries. But probably my best travels was for my honeymoon. I was in the United States, and it was an amazing holiday. I stayed there more than a month, and I visited the U.S. from coast to coast, from New York City to Los Angeles and San Francisco, California, passing through other states like Colorado, Arizona, Nevada.
Oh, he's gone. He visited some. Sorry, Giovanni. You just cut out again. I think you said you visited like national parks.
Absolutely. National parks like Yosemite National Park, Zion National Park, Grand Canyon, Bryce Canyon, the Monument Valley. It was
incredible.
Really amazing. Particularly because it was my honeymoon, so as you can imagine, it's wonderful. In any case,
very romantic time. Have you been to the UK?
Yes, of course, I've been in the UK and even in Scotland and in other countries of Europe like Spain, France, Portugal. That's amazing.
Did you feel that there was a difference between Scotland and England when you were there? Did you feel like a difference in atmosphere or in culture?
Okay, to be honest, the first difference that I noticed was the accent of people, because when I, every time that I go to the UK, more or less I understand people. But I went there in Scotland just one time, and it was a little bit frustrating because it was not so easy to understand what I mean.
Yeah, well, it's got a very sort of particular accent. It's a beautiful sounding accent, but I can understand if you're not familiar with it, it can be difficult to understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Well, Giovanni, I think we're pretty much out of time here. That's about 10 minutes. It's been great to talk to you.
Oh, it was a great pleasure for
me. And I'd just like to say, you know, well done again for winning your group in this competition. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Well, have a great day and enjoy the beautiful weather that you're experiencing.
Okay. Thanks a lot again for this nice conversation. Yeah. Take care and hope to see you again in the near future.
Great. Thanks, Giovanni. Take care.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was my conversation with Giovanni, which was slightly affected by technical issues. First of all, there's that delay thing, which makes it sounds like I'm interrupting him. The other thing, of course, you've probably noticed there was the fact that the signal kept cutting out. Either he would go silent or I would go silent. Now, I could have edited some of those things out, but it would have taken me a long time. In the end, I decided that I think we managed those breakdowns, those technical breakdowns, quite well between the two of us. We sort of managed them quite well. So I decided to leave them in. And in fact, you probably will have heard me using some phrases which typically we would use to manage that sort of problem when you're on Skype or on some other, you know, like a mobile phone call and the reception cuts out. There are some phrases that you can use to deal with that. You may have heard me using some of them in that conversation. Let's move straight on. Hello, listeners. I've just interrupted myself and I just said, let's move straight on. Now, at this point, normally I would have given you the chance to listen to my conversation with Yannick, but after having finished this episode now, I've realised that, in fact, it's an hour and 45 minutes long, which is clearly way too long for one single episode of the podcast. So I've decided to stop here. I've cut the episode in half. This is the end of part one. And now you'll just need to go and find part two of my runner-up interviews and listen to it, okay? And then you'll hear Yannick and you'll hear Arit and Phil and finally Javier. Okay, good. So go and check that out. But that's the end of part one for now. I'll speak to you again in part two very, very, very soon. But for now, it's goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks again for listening to Luke's English podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.